For many are called, but few are chosen. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. For many are called, but few are chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On this day, October 8th, about 152 years ago, there was a great fire in the city of Chicago. The origin of this fire is not certain, but what was certain was that it was a very bad time for a fire. The city of Chicago had been without rain for about 2 months, and more than two-thirds of the building at that time were made of wood, with wood and tar shingles. The sidewalks and some of the streets were also made of wood. The river, too, was lined with logging companies. Thus, it didn't take long for a small accident to become an uncontrollable problem. To top it off, the firefighters, who had been at another fire site most of the previous day and were exhausted, originally got the wrong address of the fire, so by the time they got to the correct location, it was beyond their control. The fire raged for 36 hours, turning about 2,000 acres of city to rubble. Some 17,500 buildings were destroyed, but among the few that remained, two of them were churches: St. James Cathedral and St. Michael's Church. God protects his own, and if we want this protection, especially on the Day of Judgment, then we need to show by our actions and prayers that we are God's property. Our Holy Mother, the Church, often warns us of the certainty of the final judgment, but among these warnings, there is none more powerful than those closing words of today's Gospel: many are called, but few are chosen. These words are meant to remind us of the constant danger we are in of losing our souls. Just like the Chicago fire, one little spark and it could all be over. It is almost as if our Lord wants us to ask him, as the apostles did at the Last Supper, "Is it I, Lord? Will I be saved?" Though God does not give a direct answer to this question, each of us can examine his own heart to see how he is doing. The Council of Trent teaches us that no one without a particular revelation can have certainty about his salvation. St. Paul, even, who suffered so much for Christ, says, "But I chastise my body, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." And in another place, he says that he is not aware of any sin on his soul, but that it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God, before whom even the angels are not pure. Then he gives us that warning: "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Only very few saints have been given the privilege of knowing that their salvation was secure. And those saints who have not been given this information were left, like the rest of us, to be careful in their actions for fear that they might fall away from the face of God. Christ, however, has given us certain signs and tokens from which we may form some idea of our spiritual state and how it will be with us on the Day of Judgment. These our Lord gave in the Sermon on the Mount and are called the Eight Beatitudes. The first: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Our Lord is saying if anyone tries to detach his affections from the things of this world and prevents his heart from being taken up with perishable goods, then he possesses one of the signs of election. The second: "Blessed are the clean of heart," that is, blessed are those who are free from any willful offenses against purity. for they can, even on earth, anticipate the joys of heaven, and have been promised the delight of seeing God, who alone can satisfy our desires. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Precious to the most dear heart of our Lord are those of his children who are compassionate and merciful to their suffering fellow creatures. They possess one of the greatest marks of election, since to them will be addressed in a particular way those words of our Lord, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, possess the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning of the world." This applies also to those who help others in their spiritual necessities. Whoever saves the soul of his neighbor works efficaciously for his own salvation. He who does all he can for the sanctification and salvation of souls may have great confidence that our Lord will not cast him off when he sees all those souls restored to grace by his prayers enter bright and glorified into the kingdom of eternal happiness on the day of judgment. Our Lord never forgets what is done to others on his account, especially in the way of saving souls, whose redemption was purchased by his precious blood. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It is good for us to keep our hearts free from bitterness and envy towards others. If you forgive others in the way that you wish to be forgiven, then you may hope to enjoy the bliss of heaven, for God has called you his children, and God is very anxious to call his children home. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our Lord not only promises these a glorious crown, but a reward beyond all measure in heaven. Those who stand up for Christ and his church in this life are sure to be protected by him in the next. By justice, our Lord meant virtue, piety, and the defense of one's neighbor. To all those who suffer on this account, he promises the seat in the kingdom of heaven. We shouldn't think that suffering persecution only will permit us to be worthy of the kingdom. The persecutions must be inflicted on us on our Lord's account, and the evils spoken of us must be false and contradicted by our lives. In general, we should be able to say with St. Peter, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." If you can say this with sincerity, then there is a strong hope that you will be standing on the right side on the day of judgment, and this is a hope that we all want to have. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.